Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. God is so good. God is so good. His return is soon, imminent. He loves His people more than words could say, more than actions can portray. When He became a man to die in our place, Satan had no idea of the power of our redemption. Our redemption covers everything a man could ever have a problem with. I just told my wife, you know, God gave us the power to think positively because He gave us positive blessings that overcome every negative challenge. So in everything, we've been blessed. We've been blessed right. God did it right. He's been consistent from the time He said, "Let there be light." In fact, I found more than one scripture. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. That's powerful now. That is powerful. He's dedicated, thoroughly dedicated for us. And you know, that thought by itself, He knew that things would go crazy. See, all of God's people are free will agents. The whole host of heaven, of the kingdom of God, it's a volunteer, it's they're on a volunteer basis. They do what they do because they love God. They respond to His love, from the angels to the last man born. They go to heaven. They are dedicated. They love God's word more than their own life. They want to be there. It's a volunteer army. God don't have a draft program. So, but in way back years and before time. See, time is something. Time was not really. It's thought of differently before God said, "Let there be light." You know, even after all this is done, the eternity after Satan is loose, after Jesus reigned 1,000 years and Satan is loose for a little season, to tempt whatever he can. Then he's gonna be put away forever. All right. From that point on, it's called the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. What I call and what the Lord calls our covenant week of redemption is based upon the restoration week of Adam when God made man. See, the restoration week mirrors the covenant week. And I talk about that from time to time because it's never been taught that way by anybody I know. But the way God got me teaching, now I put it that way. It's new to me. So, and that's not a slight against others. But, sometimes God give us revelation because of timing. It's not because of somebody being better than somebody else. If I wasn't around, He'd have gave it to somebody else. That's how it works. When it's time for this to be revealed, He reveals it. It's going to happen for you. If Jesus tarry long enough, eventually God's going to give you revelation that nobody has ever thought to explore. And it's going to come from the Holy Spirit. But it's something people can relate to because every word of God is first pure, which means it's holy. There's no flaw in it. There's no holes in the doctrines of God. There's holes in the doctrines of men that parrot what they heard from somebody who possibly didn't love God enough to do the research. Tares preach. Tares do everything we do. See, the kingdom of darkness is something. If the more you love God, the harder it is to comprehend the ways of darkness. Because to the pure, it's your first thought to believe everybody's pure. That's not true. And everybody's not pure, because to those that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. But people, tares teach, tares preach, tares prophesy, tares do everything that God's people do. What makes a man a tare? He yields over his devotion to the world. That's what causes him to be a tare, a devil's child. A tare is nothing but a devil's person, a child of the devil. You know, a person that love God, you know, they can go to the other side if that's what they want, if they love something over there. If they're baited, and, you know, some people go because of love, some greed, some anger, some they want power. All kind of reasons people do that. But all of them is because of the three negative hearts, those types of soil of the parable of the sower. You know, some people, you know, they won't hear the word and receive correction. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That don't just mean salvation. Salvation gets us started, gets us to the zero line when we believe on Jesus and become a child of God in the first place. But just because we've gotten saved don't mean that we're educated enough to do a quality work that God can sanction. You have to follow God's protocols. Even the apostles, they didn't just go out and start passing out tracts. They went to the prayer room. And then you saw them working miracles. You saw them rebuking the enemy. And doing things that they saw Jesus do. But Paul did. You know, Paul wasn't there watching Jesus. So his ministry is different. His ministry is something that Gentile believers can relate to better. Because he didn't see. He had to deal with his old thoughts. And he had to get his mind renewed. But he did it the way we do it, by the Holy Spirit. Everything that we're trained by the Holy Spirit. But the problem is, we can't see the Holy Spirit. We can read about what Jesus did, and the Holy Spirit can enlighten us. See, but see, when the 12 were there, actually the 14, but when they were there, they saw Jesus operate. They saw him dedicate himself. They saw him dedicate himself to the things of God. They saw him spend time with the Father. They learned from glory to glory. And all the while they asked questions and he'd answer them. After they asked the question, of course, he'd do things to alert them. He wanted them to catch on. You know, you can see the dialogue and the way he did things. He come walking on the water. Jesus is spontaneous. I know him that way too. In my training, the Lord did me that way. He did things to alert my attention. He did things to wake me up. He did things to help me understand his ways so I can be corrected. A lot of things. I can tell you a lot of different stories about how he did it. But when you learn from the Holy Spirit, you can't see the Holy Spirit. But you hear what he say and you walk with it. You have to grab a hold of it while he gave it to you and not let it be wasted. Because God is 100% about his redemption plan. We have to mirror that. We have to mirror that. We're made in his image. We have to mirror what he did for us. We have to take what he consider everything he do. We have to mirror. If God is dedicated enough to tell us, we have to be dedicated enough to capture it. Write it down exactly like he said it. Because there's meaning in the phrases that he used. There is redemptive information and protocol in the way God phrased words. He can say a few words And it can help you understand volumes of information, because his words are alive. And I have, when I go back and look at how he worded it, and it's a logic that I don't have, and I know I don't. He says simple things in ways I couldn't do it. I know I can't. When I look at the words that he give me, I judge it by, first of all, it's pure. There's nothing wrong with it. James said that the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. It's holy, because it comes out of the heart of God. It's got to be holy. It's right. It's pure. It's easy to be entreated. It's without hypocrisy. It's something that can establish you and build you up, warn you, show you what to watch out for. When he taught me things about tares, or the five foolish virgins in the last two broadcasts that I did, that he gave me, really. He gave me one about the five wise virgins. It's a two-parter. And he gave me one about no leaven. The logic, I learned something. The logic of a tear is total opposition against God. Tares, God, he speak to me in ways I can understand. He said, many people badge my name. They badge his name. They wear his name like a badge. They sing my songs. They assemble themselves with his people, but they're not like him. This happened in the days of Ezekiel. The Lord, he said, they sing, they act like they're listening, but they're not my people. And so the Lord gave me this word. I've been reading this word continually in many broadcasts. If he put it on my heart, read it again. I'm going to read it some more. But look at how he words things. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. And then he stopped talking. I said, Lord, I tried to figure, what do they have in common? I tried to imagine. I said, Lord, I'm not messing this up. Teach me how this works. What is this one thing they have in common? He said, they share an unconditional enmity with God. They share it. Do they know it? Not necessarily. And the more they delve into the word, the more they act on it. I know that. They share an unconditional enmity with God. And no matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it is there.
Now, God.
When you love the world and your allegiance goes to the world, if you give the world a chance, your allegiance is falling. Your allegiance is falling towards the world. And then people start looking for ways they can enjoy the world system and stay in the kingdom of God. But in doing so, they become leaven, which causes them to stop being a dedicated child of God and turns them into a weapon. Because a tear, they can be received as a Christian. But their words has venom in it. Their advice has venom in it. And they speak their convictions. And their convictions are satanic. So I can hear this now. Oh, preacher, what are you talking about? How can you say that? I've heard people say, all kind of things that are Christians. I've heard women say, I clown down there. I got them told. I gave them a piece of my mind. Now that's totally out of the character of God. People can say, I can't stand that person. That's satanic conviction. No matter how you dress, but I understand frustration. But see, one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering. Sometimes people get so angry at a person, they lose it. But within redemption, one of the fruits of your spirit, your born again, brand new spirit, your spirit is temperance and long suffering. So because of the leaven and the unchecked, unbridled convictions of hell, people speak word, curse people out. When the Lord taught me about how to love people, I was so aggravated with my friend at work, because we got along good before he made me mad at him. I was going to cuss him out and fight him. That didn't come from God. I was bridling myself as much as I lost it. I didn't have any more strength. And at my weakest moment, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Everlasting love, to love a man, whether he does you good or whether he does you evil." And my spirit man revived. I had strength now from God at my weakest moment. And I said, "Man, I'm going to go buy us a drink. We're going to talk about it." I came back to myself. But before that, the enemy, because I didn't check the anger, I didn't rebuke it, it got worse. So what's happening is people allow these things to continue. They don't pray about it. They don't ask God about it. That's our responsibility. The enemy is trying to get us back in the world. He wants us to think like him. And a lot of people, they don't totally drive out the Philistines, the Amalekites, the Hivites, the Perizzites. These examples are here before us. They had to drive those Canaanites out of the land and take it over because God gave it to them. Because the Canaanites was full of idolatry, and God covenanted that land with Abraham so that he could rescue every person on earth, every family. See, the protocols of God is perfect. The enemy wanted Canaan land, and he still does because of its strategic location. If you put all the continents back together like they were before the days of Peleg, Israel would be in the center. If you study Isaiah 5, it said that they were in the center of the earth. And also there's another scripture that says that. Now, how could you know that from being there? Because you can walk over to the Sea of Galilee and say, "Well, this can't be the center of the earth because there's the ocean." But if you put all the land back together, my mom gave me this globe. I still got it. I put it away. But I used to keep it in the living room to show the kids places when we would do Bible class. We would do a Bible study on Saturday mornings. And one day I was looking at the globe, and I saw Israel. And I looked over at our North American continents, North and South America. Then I looked over at Africa, Europe. I said, if you puzzle all this back together, Israel's in the middle. It's the bullseye of the whole earth. If you put all the land back together like it was before God divided it in the days of Peleg. I said, man. I said, that they wouldn't, you know, in that day you didn't have maps like this. You know, they didn't have airplanes. They had to map land the hard way. Not that they couldn't do it. But if you were born after the days of Peleg, how would you know that that was the center of the earth? You would have to be living before the days of Peleg and get reports from places from all over the earth to know that, which was possible. But the Holy Spirit knew it. Job said, "God moves mountains and man know it not." So, hey, the continents were drifting. The mountains were on the continents. And they drifted apart and man didn't realize it. Let me say something. God loves us. The point is this. He's consistent with his love. And he's very consistent. He has a plan a redemptive plan, and he's always actively doing it. And he's trying to help us in every which way there is. Let's look at the promise of God. God said, now, this is Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will, watch this now, watch the wording, watch that wording, very important. And I will make of thee a great nation. That was very, all Abraham wanted to be was a father. He was an older man, but he had no children. He wanted to be a father, man. He really wanted this. This was a passion for him. And God said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Watch this. Watch this. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse him that curses thee. See, them that bless thee, that's everybody that partake of the covenant. You receive the words of Abraham, what God did for Abraham. You receive salvation, you receive the covenant. You can't receive salvation without being received of the covenant. And the first thing you want to do is bless Israel. So that's why we pray for Israel all the time. You know, Christians united with Israel. I forgot the acronym, KUFON. You know, but anyway, we love Christians. Every soul that's blessed by Abraham, see, salvation is Jewish. It's a covenant. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee. The him is Satan and his bunch. Anybody that aligns with Satan, Satan is the main one against the curse. I mean, against the blessing. And God's going to curse him that curses thee. And that includes anybody else that sides with the world. And if Satan have enough place in people's lives, that's why some Christians fall away. They have to fall away first. They fall away from salvation. Then they curse Israel, like Hitler did. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You see that? This is the mind of God. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. See, God is also our defender. Tares are very dangerous people. All of them. And even the ones that were Christians. Once you side with the world, you become a weapon. An active weapon in Satan's hands. He'll pull your strings and you'll speak your convictions of evil. Even though you have a dedication of God, but there's also enmity there that you're sharing with him, with Satan and the world system. And you'll sympathize. And then you can't fight him right. Even though tares don't always like Satan. I want to make that clear. Tares don't always like Satan or his ways. But if you like one of his ways, now you're compromised. And you still become a weapon. It's like this. No soldier can fight beyond his conviction. If he agree with the enemy, he's not going to shoot as accurate. He's not going to be as willing. But if he has a passion for freedom and he's fighting for it, he's not going to let another country come take his. So if he has a passion for what he's doing, he's a dangerous soldier at that point. And this is all throughout the Word of God. And sometimes I point it out. No man can fight beyond his conviction, just like no man can live beyond his vision. You have to receive vision in order to go forward. You have to have faith in order to make your life flow right. You have to receive God's word in order to have vision. And then you speak because God blessed us through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesus. Let me show you something else. When God was speaking to Abraham, He said to Abraham, get thee out of that country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. So Abraham had to do some breaking through. He had to break through to get out of his country. Nobody in that day would leave their country, because now somebody else will make a slave out of you or take what you got. You don't have an army. They'll surround you, take what, you know, they could. If they outnumber you, they were motivated to, because you're not of their country. They can say you're a threat. Get thee out of that country, from thy kindred. Now you're leaving another defense. Even people in your own country could do you wrong, but if you got kindred, they might think otherwise. Just like Bethuel did. He feared Isaac, so he didn't kill Jacob. He said, get thee out from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Thy father's house. Wait a minute. Now that's real. That's bold. That's a bold step to leave your father's house. Because even your kindred, you know, just like I just said, Laban, his father-in-law, he feared Isaac. So he wasn't going to do too much against Jacob. But his brother would, see. So your father's house is a defense. Your kindred is a defense. And your country is a defense. And there's enemies. The enemies can be your own brother, just like Esau, which became Edom. That's another rabbit trail. Anyway, get thee out of that country, from that kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Now once he, and then he said, and I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He showed him the New Jerusalem. So Abraham went looking for it. But things had to happen before that could happen. You have to stick with the protocols of God. Then he said, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. Now I want to show you something else. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. When he was talking to Abraham, he was talking to everybody with ears to hear. All of his descendants was in his loins. See, God thinks way beyond men. But all the tares, he had to say this. He had to put it this way. I will bless them that bless you, thee. So that includes everybody in his loins with ears to hear, and everybody that partook of it, of the covenant, with ears to hear. God's going to bless. See, the blessings of Abraham came on the Gentiles. And here's the root scripture for it. He said, I curse them to curse thee. That's our defense. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, you know, I hope I can find it. But there's a scripture that says that God is going to have people from every nation, tongue, and kindred. Now that's in Revelation. And I can't remember exactly where it was. So that means there's somebody from everybody's family going to be in heaven. Even tribes where they are corrupt, they'll have children that have died. God's going to redeem people in every kindred, tongue, and nation on earth. And all those that he redeemed, they're part of the blessing. And Abraham caused it, because Abraham made a covenant with God. So when you align in an agreement with God, stick with it. If you make a covenant of God with God, keep it. If you make a vow to God, make sure you keep it. And ask God to help you keep it. Do it in his strength so you'll be sure to keep it. If it's a vow that's amiss, then you can't keep that. If you tell God you'll do something that he don't want, like Jephthah did. But if you have a vow, a living vow, keep the vow. And ask God to help you do it in his wisdom. And then timing is important. Don't forget timing. Some revelations come not because we're smarter than others. It's just the time we live in. And some, you know, Charles Capps taught that. He said, there's time release revelation. It's always been in the word, but when in the right time, God will release it and people understand it. God, his redemption plan is alive. Even in judgment, there's redemption in judgment. Some people, in the courses of judgment, they're going to cry out to the Lord before it's too late. And the judgments of God, I saw this as I read Revelation years ago, they're designed to help those that have ears to hear come on in before it's too late. And now, you know, God, he'll protect those that he know have ears to hear. And they'll see the disasters happening. That's got to happen. And they'll say, Lord, like the thief on the cross, remember me. I'm a sinner. When a person gets to that point, now God can work with them. I need your help. I can't do this. I do it all the time. I do it now. I say, Lord, this is beyond me. I don't understand this, but I'm going to. I understand what to do. I speak that I do not know how to deal with it. But I speak that I do. I ask the Lord to help me. And then when his wisdom come, I latch on to it. Always works. See, here's an example. Revelation 9. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. This is Revelation 9, verse 20 and 21. See, the judgment process was designed to encourage them to turn from their wickedness. But their heart was so hardened that they wouldn't repent.